Welcome to episode 9 of Shards of Light, Voices of the Blind and Visually Impaired, a showcase for the talents of the visually impaired citizens of Virginia. I'm Lamont Crawley, founder and host. My guest today is Andrea Brady, an artist, I'm going to say a multimedia artist. And of course, we'll find out a lot about what she does. Now, she does two-dimensional work, which for those that may not know, is like painting. Her three-dimensional work are more mixed media, using a variety of materials. And she, I guess you weave tapestry is what you call it, or how would you? Okay, you don't weave tapestry, but she does tapestry.
Yes, I do create tapestries, and it's created by digital imagery. I make large figures, and then I have them printed on cotton blankets that are jacquard. They're large. They're 6 by 7 feet, and they're kind of kitsch a little bit, the technique of a jacquard blanket.
And let me just jump in. Can you describe what a jacquard blanket is?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a weaving process that was invented probably in the 1700s. But the backside of the blanket is the same as the front, only it's the negative.
Okay.
It's a really neat process of weaving. But they are machine loomed. They are made by a company. But the company, they just print whatever I give them.
I see. Okay.
And then I work on top of that by adding appliques that I make myself. They are also digital. And I print those on cotton fabric in my printer. And they're mixed media. There's a lot involved. And they're kind of fun, I think.
And so when you say applique, do you sew that on?
I do. I sew. Okay. Let's just give you an example. I have a large image of a man. He is sitting in a field full of bees. He is a black man, and I call him Honey. And he has very large hair. And in his hair, I have silk flowers that I have sewn into his hair. He has bees all around him. They're covering his skin, but he's very delight and happy because they are his bees, so to speak. Everything in the tapestry, I have either painted or dyed,
okay,
or done some sort of application to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Thank you for that. I find your work just utterly fascinating.
It's
extraordinary to me what you do. And part of that is, I used to be a painter myself. Surrealism was sort of the area that I delved into. So when I see your work, I see that surrealism. I see a dreamlike quality. I see somewhat of a sci-fi quality in them, yes, if you will.
I feel like I fall into a realm. I didn't really coin this phrase for myself. Someone else did for me, and I liked it. It was called fantastical realism.
Okay.
Which does fall into a sort of, it could be sort of sci-fi, graphic novel-y,
right,
if that
right,
makes sense
right.
to anyone.
Not sure.
It is a little futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
I do rely on AI imagery at times in my designs, but then I manipulate those images to make them more what I want.
Okay. She has a website, and she'll give you that address later. But one of the favorite pieces that I could just sit there for hours is Anxiety. Talk about Anxiety. And that's a tapestry as well?
No, that's actually
a
painting I did.
Right.
It's one of the first paintings I did after I lost my vision.
Okay.
Mainly to express exactly the intense amount of anxiety over the change of everything.
Okay.
It was overwhelming. I did that, and I did it in a way that I could feel the paint I know. I added wax to the paint. I did all this weird stuff because I couldn't see what I was doing. But gradually, you know, once I fell into the groove of my gestures, which I've always had, you know, my painting gestures haven't left me, just my vision has, eyesight rather. And I got used to a certain movement of putting the paint on.
Right.
But yeah, that painting was a groundbreaker for me. It gave me hope. As if anxiety could give you hope.
well, true, but it can. And obviously it did. We could say that surface is kind of three-dimensional, if you will, due to the thickness, if you will, of the paint. Mm-hmm. But I do like your word fluid, I think you use, in terms of your brush strokes or the way you manipulate the paint onto surface.
Yeah. You know, being a painter and then suddenly losing your eyesight, or anybody, you have to learn all kinds of tricks to move in space. I couldn't even figure out which end of the brush at first to use. Right. I was clumsy. I was having a hard time coordinating. Mm-hmm. And meditating on one piece of artwork gave me focus, and it allowed me to realize I still had the painting gestures in me, that I could still make my mark, whether I saw my mark or not.
Okay. Let me just say, anxiety is a... Well, this is my description. I don't know what she had in mind, but it's like a big, in my mind, afro, as I'm looking at it, the shoulders of perhaps a man or just a figure, that the afro is sitting on top of these shoulders, so to speak, backward view. But as I look closely at the painting, because I'm saying, well, what is all this other stuff in there? It's like the afro is made up of bees. Because some are coming off the surface, some are hovering around it. And I'm saying, well, wow, you know. And then there's this diverse background of color, sort of like an explosion almost. I mean, it really is just quite fascinating. And the anxiety, I'm glad, you know, because at first I said, well, why does she call it anxiety? But I know through my eyes, I have low vision, just to remind some of you out there. It was anxiety for me to look at it for long periods of time, you know, without taking a break because of the intensity, but also because I couldn't make out everything. Right. You know, I got to pull back sometimes and come back at it. But I was like, wow, a lot of detail. And I'm saying a lot of detail for someone with a vision impairment on top of that. But who knows? I mean, people, we could do wonderful things, right? As people.
Well, just making art, it was just reaffirming to me that I could still do something. I mean, when I first started losing my vision, it was going to take a while for it to come to a stopping point where my vision would stop declining and then I would be able to see sort of again. So I was afraid of all things. I wasn't worried about my job. I wasn't worried about my family. I wasn't worried about much except I wouldn't be able to paint again. I was really, really, really worried I wouldn't be able to do my art. And I don't make a living as an artist. It's just what I do. Right. I'm an artist.
Right. That is what you do, but what does that do for you?
Right. That's a good question. As a creative, I'm constantly making and creating all kinds of things, you know, little doodahs, bits of hardware that I might need to repair my chicken house with, you know, creative ways of putting my plants in the garden. But as far as making art, it's just I'm compelled to make art in some manner.
Okay. Now, is there a time in your life where you can remember when art became very important to you or you knew this was a track you would take?
Since a child. I mean, I was just a, you know, little bitty making my first paintings.
Okay.
But it's just the way of moving in life for me. Just making art is just, I make it through cooking. Right. I make it through just about everything I do because I'm aesthetically inclined. Right. Let's put it that way.
And I was going to just bring up that point, too, because you garden, you talk about repairing a chicken coop, so to speak. So all that, in my mind, in a way, is creative and artistic, and it's the same kind of skill I'm sure you may apply to those things, like you said, cooking and everything else. You use a lot of what I call symbolism in your work. Can you talk about eggs, insects?
Oh, sure, yes.
Can you talk about some of that?
Okay, yeah. You know, we all have our personal symbols, I think. There's some we borrow, there's some we expand upon that others have already done before us. You know, we can't help but be derivative of those before us. And I, of course, have chickens, and I was also a cook most of my life. I cooked professionally. And I must say, I'm probably queen of egg cooking. I must pat myself on the back right now. I'm joking. I'm so joking. But I adore eggs, and I adore everything they stand for.
And for example, what do they stand
for?
Well,
life. Okay. I mean, who cannot look at an egg and not see beauty, you know? Okay. I mean, that's a little far-fetched, but if you go to the store and you get your eggs, you don't really think much about it. But I have chickens. Mm-hmm. And they talk, and they're mm-hmm. smart, and they'll bite you, and, you know, they communicate. And then they produce these beautiful eggs.
Okay.
So I decided they're a big part of my life, mm-hmm. and I've just started painting them and putting mm-hmm. them. There's symbols of, there's the one painting I did with the eggs coming out of the sky, and there's a person grabbing one of the large eggs coming out of the sky and escaping with it. For whatever that reason is, they're taking the egg with them. You know, that's a personal interpretation for anybody that sees the piece.
Okay.
Mainly, I'm hoping that people will touch my work.
Hmm.
I mean,
okay, well, that's good to know.
Because you can feel the difference
right.
of the eggs
right.
in the texture
okay.
in the eggs.
Okay. Now, and the eggs are like in a still life with eggs.
Yes, yes.
Now, the egg shells, for example, they're painted on, not some kind of way. Glued on.
No, they're not glued on. What? no. I wish I could use scissors.
Well,
like
it looks so real. I mean, you know, such a fantastical environment. I mean, they really stand out.
Oh,
you know?
Good. I use a lot of fluorescent colors.
Okay. Okay.
Because I can see those. I'm also partially colorblind, which is not too fun, but I do use a digital method of printing onto the metal.
Okay.
I design my images prior to them going on the surface, which in that case was a metal.
Okay. Now, how about the bees? I heard you were a beekeeper or something at one point in time.
Yeah, not too long ago, I was living in the country, outside in Columbia, Virginia, and I was off grid. I raised bees. I had three groups of bees going for a long time. Okay. Well, numerous years. And they got devastated eventually. But
now, what does meaning what?
Well, between there were robber bees okay. that came and swarmed and stole one group of them, and then the others froze, unfortunately.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Sad. You say you don't make a living at art.
No.
You studied art, if you will, at VCU.
Mm-hmm.
What did that educational approach do for you and your journey?
Oh, wow. That totally blew my mind. I still love learning. I mean, who doesn't love learning constantly? VCU, of course, offered a great education with some grand masters. I had two painting instructors that just were very involved in my development. I used to work very large-scale paintings, which I still could do now. I just don't have the room to store them.
Okay.
So I've chosen the tapestries because they're easy to
right.
put away, which is nice because I've just rediscovered working large again.
Okay.
Also. But VCU is just, it's a great school.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they certainly have had a national reputation
yeah.
for quite a while.
Yeah,
no
we're lucky to have them here in Richmond.
What would you say for someone that might have an artistic bent? What would you suggest they do to further their career or their artistic talent?
Well, there are a couple places in Richmond that I would recommend. I've never actually used their services, but I have friends that teach in these two places. One is the Visual Arts Center.
Hmm. Which is where?
It is on Main Street in Richmond. And The other is the studio school at the Virginia Museum.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And they offer classes taught by super professionals in their mm-hmm. field, in painting and photography and sculpture, okay. jewelry making mm-hmm. on many levels.
Right. Okay. All right, Andrea, talk more about your vision journey.
Oh, boy. Well, it was a surprise. I have ocular nerve damage in both my eyes. I was working as a sauté cook at the Virginia Museum at the wonderful restaurant Amuse. The job itself was my favorite job in the whole kitchen. It's like playing a flaming drum set of frying pans and fire and, you know, everything but knife throwing, you know, which sometimes may have happened. I've even exploded a few cans of alcohol. I thought it was fun stress, but apparently my body did not think it was fun stress. And basically lost my vision overnight. It was very out of the blue, came unexpectedly.
But how does that relate to cooking?
I think it was just the pressure I was under and the job.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It was amazing amount of adrenaline.
Okay.
A lot of just doing something massively fast mm-hmm. and as well as it could be done.
Okay.
Which is great on many levels, the challenges and the beauty of doing something like that, but it's a specific personality type. It was too much for me, and I just didn't know it. Or if I knew it, I ignored it, which I don't recommend for anybody to ignore any kind of health issue.
Uh-huh.
You can't just ride things out.
Right.
Some of us think we can, but we can't.
How did that result in how you see?
Well, my left eye is... It's like looking through black lace, you know, into like a mist. And then my right eye, which is the better of the two, is like looking through a blurry contact. You can see things.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they look okay,
mm-hmm.
but everything's all smudged and wiped out. And there's just little bits of stuff there to look at. And I compensate. I use a large TV screen to view my images with, or my brush strokes connected to my phone. I have an HDI cable that I connect to my phone to a large TV. And then I can actually see my work after I've made it. You have to kind of do a lot of working around.
It's like adjusting to find the new tools to help you be successful in what you're trying to accomplish there.
Well put, yes.
Okay, yeah. As you go forward, because you're not going to stop working, do you have any particular goals for your work that you haven't accomplished?
You know, I haven't made any future plans. I am, at this point, making future plans. I mainly just use one gallery right now, but that's because it's convenient. It's also a beautiful little gallery. It's a member gallery in Petersburg, the Petersburg Art League. But yes, I would like to... expand now that I've got a body of work that I can shop around, as they say.
And with a great website to view your work, I love the layout.
Oh, thank you.
Of your website. Yeah, because it's simple, but at the same time, the images are big. And so that works well, at least for me.
I had help with that.
Okay.
My partner helped me with that. But it is a simple website to use, Weebly.
Okay.
So anybody can use it easily.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I may try that.
Yes, please.
I don't know if you know this, but Andrew and I were in two shows recently. You were in the Art Beyond Limits show as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we were in Art Beyond Limits, as my guest in episode 8 was.
Oh.
But we also entered a show called Shake It Up.
Yes.
Down at the Petersburg Art League, and we're both in that show, too. And that's where I saw her work for the second time. And I said, okay, let me reach out to her to get her on the show.
I'm so glad you did.
You have I don't know whether you could say a decent exhibition history, an extensive exhibition history, but you'd seem to exhibit consistently.
I did for a long time. early when I lived in Richmond, but when I moved out to the country, I basically stopped working for about 10 years, mainly because it was just about surviving right. off-grid. It took a lot out of me. But then when I moved to Petersburg about 11 years ago, I still didn't do much work. Mm-hmm. I didn't show either. I was renovating our house. You know how that goes.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Those big projects.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really start going gung-ho again until 2019 when my eyes started going.
Right.
And it was more of a force of will to see if I could just do something again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, this is not so bad. Things aren't as bad.
You can do, you can accomplish.
Yes.
And there's hope for the future because, look at what I've done.
Yep.
And you seem to get accepted into a lot of shows. Let me put it that way. People seem to like your work or at least is relevant to what they're doing.
Well, they're good people at the gallery. They're very good people.
Okay. So overall, in terms of life, in terms of your work, is there a particular philosophical approach you apply?
I guess for me, I'm a strong-willed person. I do not really like for things to necessarily get in my way that I cannot make them go away, or around.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just determined that I was going to make work and that it was going to be valid to me. I didn't really mind what anybody else thought about it, you know. It had to be something that I could feel good about and immerse myself in and feel good about.
Okay.
And it is. It makes me very happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you think about other people listening to this, other people that perhaps might be on the verge of, what should I do? Any particular thoughts you want to give them?
Yes, please do it. You know, if it's going to Michael's and getting some tools, if it's just going around your home and finding tools or old artwork or picking up a quilt you used to work on or anything, it's just try to do it. If it's in you, surely you can make it manifest in some manner. Sing a song, whatever it takes to get you more outside of yourself. You're not locked in just because you can't see.
Yeah, and what does coming outside of yourself bring back to you is that joy and nourishment
of
one spirit.
Anige, which is joy.
Okay.
And yes, it is. It's very holistic.
Okay.
That's appropriate.
Anything we didn't cover that you might want to share?
If anyone ever sees my work, I want them very much to touch it. I want for it to be tactile. I don't know how you would see my work anytime soon. Well, I do have a show coming up in November at PAL with Petersburg Art League with Rod Givens. So if you can make our show in November, please touch my work.
Down in Old Town Petersburg. Now, when you say you could touch it, do you let the galleries know that people can touch your work?
Yes.
Okay. Because we're taught so much, don't touch it.
I don't mind at all. I mean, it's made to be, I touch it, so I want other people to touch it.
Right. And give them your website address, if you don't mind.
Yes. It's all one word, AndreaFBrady.Weebly.com.
Okay, spell that out for them as well.
Okay. My name, AndreaFBrady, dot Weebly, WEEBLY, dot com.
Okay, there you go. I would invite you to definitely get on and see the kind of work that she creates. And or get someone to describe the work that is there. I can't go into a gallery per se and just see work. My lady helps, she describes things for me for the most part. There are some bold things that stand out, but very intricate things are a little bit more difficult. So get the help you need, but try to enjoy art, not just on her website, but anywhere. Come out to the arts.
Please enjoy yourselves.
Okay, that's Andrea Brady. I'm pleased to have you on board.
Thank you.
Glad you decided to do this.
Yes, it's exciting.
And I wish you well in the future.
Thank you.
For those of you interested in submitting your work for consideration, please reach out to Virginia Voice at 804-266-2477 or email me, Lamont Crawley, at myvoiceforsoul@gmail.com. That is my voice, the number 4, S-O-L, @gmail.com. Or send me a text at 804-514-5890. And also use that contact information to send us any feedback you may have about this show or any of the other episodes that we've had. Until next time, take care.